WildTalkRadio.com.
I have one question for everybody here tonight. Who wants to walk with the lions? Yeah.
Wild Talk Radio presents to you the Monday Night Raw post show.
Because when the hounds come down to this ring, you got two choices. You get out of our yard, or we beat your ass.
Featuring Sir Rockin'.
I am talent. I am fame. I am music. I am the air you breathe. I am everything.
And Lindsay Ward.
Yeah, well, I'm here to make something perfectly clear. The queen is dead. And for the first time ever in Monday Night Raw history, I can rightfully say, long live the one, the only goddess of WWE.
Interact with us live and give us your thoughts on everything that happens on Monday Night Raw. Now step into the ring with us for the Raw Post Show.
Monday Night Raw.
King of Kings. On your knees, dog. All hail. Bow down to the king.
They said it was an end of an era. But is they ever back? Good evening, everyone. Welcome to the Raw Post Show, live right here on Wild Talk Radio Network. Presented, as always, by Garrick.net and MBG Films. YouTube.com/MBG1211. I am Sir Rockin. That is Lindsay Wood.
It was an end of an era, but could a new era beginning? No, not really, because they're saying this is the legit end. So, yes, but we'll talk all about that, because we have several things we have to talk about from this show, because the ending, oh my god.
Well, wait for the ending. I want to start with the Hunter stuff.
Okay.
Because that was very intriguing to me. Because it felt refreshing to hear. Triple H was on Monday Night Raw night talking about how a few weeks ago he was getting a call about how WWE's going to Australia. And Vince said, hey, you want to wrestle? And Hunter's like, hell yeah. In front of 80,000 people, hell yeah. And then he was told, how about The Undertaker? And then he's like, hell no. And he talks about the end of their match. He puts up the picture of Taker and Hunter and Shawn standing on the ramp together. The iconic photo that surfaces the internets all the time.
And basically, it was the moment our childhood died. Yep. Right there.
Fans were chanting for Shawn, for HBK. Hunter said that moment changed them. Shawn was gone. The streak would be dead. Taker would put his hat and gloves in the ring and disappear. Hunter took off his boots in favor of his suit. It was over. All of it was over. The era had ended. The sound, the feeling, the goosebumps, they were all gone. Instead, he just wanted to sound like a bitter veteran, but our era of wrestling was something special. He said he thought long and hard and eventually told Vince he would take the match only if The Undertaker would put those hats and gloves back on and be the Phenom one more time.
Because, which I ask, I'm going to interrupt you, did he ever stop being the Phenom? Pretty sure he picked him up this year at WrestleMania, didn't he?
Like the Bray Wyatt thing, moments don't matter. The sound will be back. The feeling will be back. The goosebumps will be back because the era is back. Melbourne, Australia, The Undertaker in the game one last time. Always love a Triple H promo.
I love a Triple H promo. My only criticism of this, only criticism, and that's just because I am a stickler for a story, is he's telling this wonderful story, right, about how Vince called him and asked him if he wants to do the show, and he's like, absolutely, and it's like against The Undertaker, and then he's like, yeah, nah, no, maybe not, nah, really not feeling it. And he kind of paused And he never really gave the reason, a legit reason why, beyond it's what we did was an end of an era, which that is legit, not gonna lie. Misspoke about that. But, you know, beyond that, there was another reason I think he stopped himself from saying it. But he goes through this whole tale and he weaves this whole story, and we never find out really what was the motivator for Hunter to want to fight Taker again, to want to basically take back end of an era and make this the end of the era, as it were. So I'm just a little bit of a stickler like that. That would have been that nice. Like, he thought about it, or he and Taker spoke about it, or he realized that what they did wasn't the actual end, and this is. And I almost was like halfway waiting for him to be like, I would do it if Taker put his career up or something.
Or not, or just even respond and make a threat, make a challenge, whatever.
Yeah, basically something. Taker was like, let's go. Let's do this one more time. Like, there was that little bit missing from that whole story that I would have liked to have gotten. It doesn't diminish what he said. It doesn't diminish the match in any way, shape, or form. It's gonna be epic. It's gonna be fantastic. It always is between these two. But just for me personally, I just wanted that little, what was that deciding factor that made Hunter pick up the phone and go, yes, I will face The Undertaker in Melbourne, Australia, in front of 80,000 people, because reasons. You know, it's just that, to me, I needed that. And also, I have to applaud The Undertaker for going on Instagram during Raw, like 15 minutes before this happened, and Googling himself. I just found that really funny. I was almost expecting like some kind of answer or something to happen because he was haunting Instagram at that point, but it didn't happen, sadly. So, but yeah, I'm looking forward to this. I do hope they have Taker show up at least once.
He will. He'll, because he is scheduled for SmackDown 1000. So there is that, and that's before the Super Showdown.
But he could show up other times.
He could show up other times, I'm just saying. You said once, I was giving you a date.
I know, and I can look forward to that, but other times would be nice too. And I will take my Taker any way I can get him, because the time is growing short that I'm not going to get him anymore. So I will take as much Undertaker as he's willing to give us.
I like that they...
I'll always ask for more.
Yeah, I like that they got out in front of this.
Mm-hmm.
And,
yeah.
Okay. Here's your match, here's the promo, here's the setup. And it's like, last time Hunter fought, there was no setup, there was no nothing, they just went and did the match. At least they have the setup, The Undertaker retorts, that's fine, but the setup's there.
Well, again, he's willing to work, I think, limited dates, and if he does retort, there's going to be some time that passes. And so they're giving, like you said, they're giving themselves the breathing room. This is the main event for the show. So it does have to sell the tickets. It does have to sell people on the network. It has a huge task in front of it. And so it's better to start pushing it now, a month to 6 weeks out, to, like you said, get in front of it and have it be advertised and have it be the big deal that it is, versus 2 weeks beforehand. Oh yeah, hey, by the way, Hunter and Undertaker are going to fight in Australia. Y'all should totally watch that. You know, it's better that they're, like you said, that they're doing it now, because you can actually build a little bit of a story where it's, you know, Hunter's in, obviously Taker's in, but what is Taker's motivation for doing this? Are we ever going to get Taker's motivation? We probably won't, but we could. Because, I mean, let's all not forget that the end of the era was the birth of the Faux Hawk, okay?
Okay.
That The Undertaker wanted to fight Hunter so damn bad, that he cut his hair like a crazy ex-girlfriend, shaved his head, and gave himself a fake mohawk, because that man is nothing if not a 6'8" walking case of drama.
Yeah, he is a walking case of drama. But hold on, this is where
and we love him for it.
This is where I'm trying to do something really quick. So we all know that iconic photo, that iconic image, right?
Mm-hmm.
Of the three of them. Alright? I need to... This is going to be a visual aid. Hopefully this works. So let's see if it does. So if you are looking on the Twitch channel, twitch.tv/WTRLive, you should, in fact, see an image on your screen of the end of the era photo. Now, when looking at this picture, you see Sean and Hunter, and Taker has the faux hawk, right?
Mm-hmm.
Hunter has long hair.
Yes.
Sean has long hair. Correct?
Correct.
The only man who has long hair at the moment, The Undertaker.
And that's just by the grace of God. And a really good stylist.
Just pointing it out. The man who had long hair don't have it. The man without it has.
Well, I feel like Hunter would still have it if he could wear it down, because that was always supposedly the excuse as to why he cut it, is he had to wear it up in a business environment, and so he finally just got tired of wearing it up and cut it. The actual fact is that Hunter was losing his hair, and so he's just been steadily, quietly going bald in front of us for years now, and just cutting it so short that we aren't really supposed to notice, but we all see it. So there's that, and then there's Sean's whole situation that we're just not even going to go into, because that whole thing is just really unfortunate.
Yeah.
And I think it just was getting to the point where he had to cut it.
I think, yeah, he wanted to cut it, and he just finally got around to it. All right, so moving on from that, other things that happened as well. Sasha Banks, Bayley, and Ember Moon took on the Riot Squad. The Riot Squad got the win. Solid matchup between all six ladies. Ruby Riott still looks impressive. More and more I see of her in the ring. She's going to be a really good talent for this company for a long time.
Absolutely, yeah. Can't wait to see more from her. I'm ready for them to maybe start inching her towards the title, but maybe not with Ronda. We'll just kind of have to see.
Not quite.
Because I like Ruby. I don't want her to, like, get messed up.
Yeah. Elias had a performance. It was interrupted by Curt Hawkins, which turned into a match, which Elias beat Curt Hawkins. Authors of Pain beat Titus Worldwide.
Yay.
They've killed the Authors of Pain.
I don't know why they've killed the Authors of Pain, but they've killed the Authors of Pain. It's like you need challengers for the B team at this point. More specifically, you need heel challengers for the B team. And yes, you have the Revival, and the Revival is very good, especially since the Deleters of Worlds, I think, have been deleted. I think Matt went back to just being Matt, and Bray is God knows where. He wasn't on the show again tonight, nor was he on last night.
He'll be back there. He'll be back at Hell in a Cell, probably.
I have to wait till Hell in a Cell to see him.
Maybe. We'll see.
God.
I have a theory. We'll get to that in a minute.
Oh, that child. Okay, he tries my patience sometimes, but that's wrestling love for you, y'all. Your favorites just do stuff that just tries your patience sometimes. Anyway, back to my point. You need challengers for the B team. The Authors of Pain had a legit threatening claim coming out of NXT. They were the baddest thing to come out since the Ascension, essentially. And I get that there were visa issues, and apparently they had to take them off TV while that got settled. And in the meantime, things changed, things happened, and when they come back, you know, the landscape is not the same. You'd already moved teams essentially into the spot that I feel like they were supposed to occupy. But at this point, you should start to move the Authors of Pain into a more dominant position, have them start to work their way up the ranks, and eventually go for the B team and probably take the titles off the B team, but maybe not, depending on what happens with the Revival. And I'm kind of wondering if maybe to do that, you have an Ellerling like figure, maybe not Ellerling himself, because I don't think he wants to do it, but a manager type role that would be willing to do it.
Possibly.
You know, somebody that can fill those shoes and sort of get them together and put them back on that track of dominance that they need to be on, because, I mean, it's like they're two big, impressive guys. I mean, they can go, and you've got them, and this is not an offense to Titus Worldwide at all, but you've got them just kind of dumped right now in just nowhere land with the Ascension. They did what they did to that with the Ascension, what they did to the Authors of Pain, because I can speak, what they did to the Ascension, which is not what you want. And I feel like they never really got a fair shake, because they came up, everybody was super excited for them, they were there I think two weeks. And then they disappeared, and they were just gone. And nobody knew where the hell they were. And then they came back. And when they came back, it was like, oh, hey, look, it's the Authors of Pain. Yay! And then nothing. So, I mean, I feel like in a tag division that's severely needing a strong, dominant heel presence, I don't know why you aren't pushing the Authors of Pain. But at the same time, the Revival has waited and waited and waited for their chance. They've come through injuries on both counts, lengthy injuries, to get to this point where they're now being moved into title contention. And maybe that's what they're waiting for, is you have the Revival take out the B team, and then you start to come, you have the Authors of Pain come for the Revival, and you do a Revival Authors feud, which I think maybe happened at the beginning of one NXT career and the tail end of another, but I'm not 100% sure. I don't know if we've ever seen them go.
They've gone.
they've gone.
Because the American Alpha was involved too in a three-way feud.
Okay, yeah, that's right. So you do that, and you can kind of revive that feud and bring up that history. But I feel bad for the Authors of Pain, because I feel like they are so much better than what they're getting. And I get it. They're two big guys. They yell and they scream and they grunt and they snort and they do all those other manly things. But they're good at it. And right now the tag division, at least on Raw, is very much lacking that, because you need that in a division. It's like you have the Bludgeons on SmackDown who are essentially filling that role. Although after today,
we'll get to that.
Yeah. Maybe not.
We'll see. Who knows? It's still to
damn it, Brent.
It's to be determined.
Damn it, Brent. Leave my children alone. It's
to be determined.
Leave them be. He did nothing to you. He was minding his own business. Anyway, so yeah. So I feel like, you know, you need to have essentially the Bludgeons, but on Raw, and AOP can fill that role. And right now they're not. So, sucks.
Okay. Wasn't expecting that long tangent, but hey, there it goes.
Sorry, y'all.
Speaking of the Bludgeon Brothers, Jinx, they lost two matches tonight. Bo lost to Scott Dawson and Dash Wilder.
You mean the B team, not the Bludgeon Brothers.
B team. Whatever. Began with a B.
How can you confuse them? They don't even look like each other.
Dawson beat Bo, Dash beat Axel. You're the Jinx for the B team. Just call it, just saying it.
I didn't mean to.
You pick them up in fantasy and bam, down they go. It's all on you. All right, some other things that really happened on this show that have major implications on things included Ronda Rousey and Stephanie McMahon. Stephanie McMahon brought out Rowdy, Ronda Rousey, her protege.
Her protege.
There are loud Ronda chants, and Stephanie says every time she hears the fans chant for Rousey, she hears Steph. Rousey says it's not about Stephanie, it's about the women standing around the ring and in WWE. She told all the women from Raw who were standing at ringside, get up on the apron, because this was, you know, about all of them. Because, you know, they're not above them. She's not above them. The women were all there. It's not about one champion's all, but it's about all of them and the women's evolution. Rousey said Natalya is the cornerstone of the women's division, which led to a huge natty chant, and she started choking up. She talked about how if it wasn't for Sasha and Bayley at NXT TakeOver right here in Brooklyn, the Evolution may have not even gotten off the crown, which is a fact. And she made sure to tell you, she's not Brock Lesnar. She will be a fighting champion who competes every night, and she can't wait to get in the ring with every single one of the women on the apron. Stephanie then talked about, you know, she's only here to break your arm, you know. How do you think Alexa feels? It's how she broke her arm, and we saw the photo of what happened. That's not wrestling. I don't know what it is, she said. Stephanie told the woman she just wants to break them all, take them all out, and then stand in the spotlight. Rousey's like, I'm not here to break all of their arms, just only the ones who deserve it. And then Ronda gets up in Steph's face and locks in the armbar to Stephanie McMahon.
That's your boss. That's probably not the wisest of ideas.
The Bella Twins were there as well. They all celebrated. The heels checked on Stephanie. Alexa was in a pink sling, by the way.
Very cute. So, yeah, this was nicely done. I liked how they did it. Just a couple things to note. There's a really wonderful way that they're weaving the Bella Twins back into the fabric of the company, slowly setting up probably Nikki versus Ronda at some point. But you're working her back in, you're getting them back in and ready to go for when you want to pull that trigger. So it's not just really super sudden. You have Nikki sort of just lurking on the fringe right now. Like they actually did it really nicely with the camera shots, because you had Ronda in the center of the ring and then off to her left, like kind of halfway cut off, but still in the frame behind Ronda is Nikki. So that was really well done in terms of whoever set that all up. Bravo to you. That was not lost. But yeah, I liked this. I liked how you have Ronda trying to be the heel, or I should say the face champion, where she's like, she's not trying to make it about her. She's trying to make it about the women's division and what she can bring to the division. And I liked that very much, that they're doing it like that. Cause I feel like there was just this huge, almost really unnecessary backlash of hate last night. Like, I don't want to sit here and defend her, and I get it. If you don't like her, that's up to you. I mean, I'm the same way with Roman. So, you know, there you go. But if you don't like her, don't watch her.
Simple as that.
It's really simple as that. If you're so pissed off at the product, don't watch her. Don't watch her. Go do something else. Go play Fortnite. If you play Fortnite, go play video games. If you play video games, go read a book, go surf the internet, go do whatever. But yeah, I'm just, it's like, I've just seen it on social media and it's just like, it feels like it's a little unnecessary, but hey, it makes people happy. So I guess go for it. But it's just a little intolerable at this point that it's just people are literally, because it's like after last night, Roman won, Ronda won. And just the mixture of those two in terms of people complaining was just like, oh God, please stop. Just please stop. So yeah, I would say, I mean, I get it if you're not happy with it. I respect it if you're not happy with it because I've been there with other wrestlers that I don't care for. So it's you do you. But all I'm saying is if you don't like it, don't watch it. It kind of astounds me of how many people just hate it, but they continue to watch it.
The WWE Universal Champion, Roman Reigns, made his way to the ring to some massive ooze with a quote, "Let the critics criticize." Really, guys, that's what we're, okay. Roman Reigns says he's a man of his word. I said I was going to beat Brock Lesnar, and I did. And he would defend the title once he won it, and intends on doing so tonight. He said he would maybe take on all comers, but no, not tonight. There's one man he wants to fight. The man who won the belt in Brooklyn and never lost it. Finn Balor. Finn Balor comes out and accepts Roman Reigns' challenge and says he will take back his title. Both men shook hands. Match is going to happen, but until Baron Corbin comes out, says the match is not going to happen. Balor should not be rewarded for the stunt he pulled the night before. He said Balor no-showed and the demon showed up, and Corbin claimed he had never heard the bell ring because of all the sounds and everything, and he wants to face the man, Finn Balor, tonight. Reigns and Corbin went back and forth, and Corbin, who said, Reigns only won the title because Brock Lesnar was more concerned with Braun Strowman. Kurt Angle comes out, says he makes the matches, not Baron Corbin, and he asked if the fans want to see Reigns versus Balor. They do, and that's our main event for the Universal Championship. And Corbin was then booked in a match against Bobby Lashley, which he lost. Good opening segment. I need to talk about this Baron Corbin match.
Go for it.
We need to stop putting Baron Corbin in long matches on Monday Night Raw. It's repetitive. He's not that great in long match form. This match with Bobby Lashley was awful. Like, they have no chemistry together. It was really, really awful to watch. And, yep, Bobby Lashley won. It was just an awful match.
I really like Baron Corbin. Like, I do. Genuinely, I do. I think he's an interesting character.
He's better in the role he's in now.
But I keep waiting for them to find that foil for him in the ring where he's going to have that amazing chemistry that the character comes out and the skill comes out. Because he can wrestle. He can work. I mean, he's not the greatest in the world, but he can go. He wouldn't be on this level if he couldn't. And I'm just waiting for that. And so far, they haven't found it. And I kind of almost feel like his foil is behind an announce desk and will never come out from behind it. You know? Like, I really genuinely feel like that. But the role that they have him in now, he's better. He's more entertaining. He gets to be his more snarky self. Which, if you ever have seen Baron Corbin on Up, Up, Down, Down, that's the Baron Corbin you want to see on TV, because he's just generally he just makes smart-ass comments, and he's snarky, and he's sarcastic, and he's all the things. And it's like, that's the dude I want to see on my TV, because that's entertaining, versus the lone wolf character we were getting on TV. So it's like, I like that they're bringing that side of his personality out, because it makes him human. It makes him less two-dimensional. He's not just this nasty, greasy guy that comes out and beats people up and is covered in tattoos. You know, now he has a personality, plus all those things. So it's better. But I'm still waiting for them to find that foil, and they haven't found it yet. And it's getting a little troubling. But it's like, they've got him in a good place right now, so I can't complain too much. And none of this is really on him. I feel like it's more they can't hit that sweet spot with him yet. Mm-hmm. They're getting there with it, like it's better, like we said, but it's just there's something missing, and they're trying to find it, I feel like. He needs the Ambrose to his Rollins. That's what he needs. But speaking of Baron Corbin got an upgrade.
We'll get to that. There's one more thing we need to get to before that.
Aw.
Kurt Angle was backstage with Paul Heyman. And Paul Heyman spoke about how his client is invoking his rematch clause. And just not tonight. And Kurt Angle basically tells Paul Heyman it's going to be a very long time before he gets his rematch. Heyman says, like, hell in a cell. And Angle said it would be a cold day in hell. I like the chemistry between Kurt and Heyman. It worked well. It's like, okay, we're addressing the elephant in the room. Lesnar gets a rematch. Eventually. So whenever they want to pull the trigger on the match, it'll happen. If they ever do.
If they ever do, it's sort of hanging out there in the atmosphere that if Brock decides at some point after he's done with the UFC again that he wants to come back and he wants to cash it in, that's fine. If he doesn't, that's fine too.
Yeah, it doesn't. It doesn't matter. Baron Corbin was then
completely... Wait. I'm not done.
Okay.
So eager to move on. But anyway, so yeah. Like the chemistry between Angle and Heyman. I liked Angle's just general, hell no, we're not doing that. Nope. Because I feel like Angle felt the disturbance in the internet when that came out. Because the internet collectively at once just went, no. Just everybody, no. At the same time. I feel like the writers, Angle, whoever, somebody felt that disturbance and wrote it. I'm very happy. Anyway, I'm sorry. Baron Corbin
mentioned to Kurt Angle about having the forcing in these matches that, I need the time to prepare. And well, guess what? I'm going to talk to Stephanie McMahon. Now, as you mentioned, Baron Corbin, Stephanie McMahon, Kurt Angle had a conversation right after Stephanie was attacked by Ronda Rousey. And she was mad. She was pissed off. It's like, where were you, Kurt? Where were you? And it's like, good question. So she's blaming Kurt Angle for the attack. It's like, you should have been out there. And Corbin's jaw-jacking and whatever. And well, there's so much chaos going on. Kurt, you need a vacation. The pressure is getting to him. So now Kurt Angle's been put on vacation. And the acting general manager of Monday Night Raw, Baron Corbin.
Finn Balor is so screwed, y'all. He's so screwed. But yeah, this is interesting. I like this. I'm curious to see where they go with it. Because I feel like, yeah, we do need a break from Angle. Because out of all the Raw general managers that we've had over the years, and Angle, this is not Angle's first rodeo as a GM, but as a babyface GM, he's been sort of just...
He's been just there, which is fine.
Meh.
But he doesn't have to be anything more than meh.
I know, well, but sometimes you want him to be more than meh. Like, that's the point, you know? It's like you wish he was a little bit more, pardon the pun, impactful, but he's not. He's just sort of there, and that's not Kurt Angle's fault. That's the writing's fault. But
when Stephanie has his balls, you know, he really can't do anything about it.
Yeah, I know, but I'm just saying, and generally speaking, heel GMs typically are more entertaining than face GMs. So now that you have a heel GM in place, let's see what Corbin can really do. Because I'm curious.
Curious.
I'm genuinely curious.
See what they can do. So backstage, Finn Balor is talked to by Braun Strowman, who's basically like, if I cash in when you win, I'm going to do it face to face. So we lead to our main event. Roman Reigns. What?
Before we go into the main event, which I absolutely love that Braun's just like, yep, I'm just maybe thinking about it. Just, you know, heads up. None of this running BS. None of this questioning. Braun just announces his intent before he's ever going to do it. So he's like, I'm just going to come out here and just genuinely stalk you until I decide if I want to do it or not. I just love that. He's not trying to be sneaky about it.
Nope. Main event, Universal title, Roman Reigns, Finn Balor. Yes, this bell is being defended on Monday Night Raw. They had a hell of a match. Hell of a match.
So good. So damn good. Can I get another one of these, please?
And then Roman Reigns is in position to get the win. And then you hear Braun Strowman's music play and he starts walking out with the briefcase. Balor hits the sling blade, hits the running dropkick, misses the coup de grace. Spear. 1, 2, 3. Roman Reigns retains the belt over Finn Balor. Great match.
Fantastic match. Absolutely. Loved everything about this. Like I said, more please on this. But yeah, Braun coming out towards the tail end was nicely done. It's a good distraction for Roman. It almost cost him the title, which would have been a really interesting swerve. Had that happened. But they weren't done.
No.
Because another swerve was already in the works.
Yes, it was. So Braun Strowman gets in the ring, kicks Roman Reigns, and says, I'm cashing in. So they do the introduction. The match is about to start, and then you hear the familiar sound.
Shag hump.
Maybe.
If it's going to play.
Shag hump, insert, erect, lick, dick, shield.
Oh, it's this one.
India, Echo, Lima, Delta,
Shield. That's the right one.
That's the right one. And, you know, it's like you notice based on Ambrose's behavior since he's come back, he is not that happy-go-lucky Dean Ambrose that we all come to know and love. He's more intense. He's much more, I don't want to say basic, because basic isn't the right word, but it's like, I want to say primal. I feel like that he's just very aggressive. He's just ready to beat people up. He's very much more what he was when the Shield first started. And I thought about this after the show went off the air and this had happened. And I was like, son of a something, that Dean Ambrose last night on SummerSlam wore his Shield jacket.
I told you that last night.
For no apparent reason, right? Uh-huh. No apparent reason that, you know, Seth's in his Thanos gear and Dean's in his Shield vest, which is like, huh, that's interesting. And then it's like, I think we all maybe thought that there could be a Shield reunion, but it's like, no, because they're putting the title on Roman, so why are they going to reunite the Shield? Well,
you see. Oh, by the way, Dean Ambrose beat Dolph Ziggler. Good match. Forgot all about it.
Very, very, very good match. Excellent match. Recommend watching it. Yeah. Anyway, back to this.
So, the Shield I'm going to explain what actually happened.
Yes, explain what actually happened.
Because you were ready to jump on it. No. So, the Shield stalk the ring, and they go 3-on-1 on Braun Strowman, and they start beating him down and beating him down. He fights back a little bit, but they beat him down. They have him down at ringside. They go to do the powerbomb, and it's like, nope, he's fired his outfit. But then he gets speared by Roman Reigns. And the Shield drive him down with the Shield bomb through the announce table, leaving out Braun Strowman laying on it. Good segment. Was not expecting the Shield to show up on this one. But now they're his protector for the briefcase. They're protecting Roman Reigns against Braun Strowman. Why, you ask? Why?
Well, I mean, if you're Roman and you've taken this really long road to get to Brock Lesnar, you got screwed by management once. You don't want to get screwed again, you know, whether it's by management or by Braun Strowman, because you know he's lurking out there. You find a way to protect your title, essentially, to protect your livelihood, and that is, hey, Seth, Dean, you know, let's go. Let's do this. If that's the case, if not, it could have been entirely spontaneous where Seth and Dean decided, hey, let's go protect Roman because he's our buddy and he's the champion. And if we get in with him again, we're good to go. What's interesting about this incarnation of the Shield is that Seth is Dean's keeper. In past versions of the Shield, it's usually Roman and Dean. That's what they focus on, but now it's Seth and Dean. So Seth is basically keeping Dean in line and making sure Dean doesn't do anything crazy stupid unless he wants him to. And then Roman's kind of over all of it. So you're going to have Roman as your WWE champion being the top guy. He's going to be the leader of the Shield, and then you have Seth and Dean kind of under him. Now, is it going to create tensions in the fact that Seth and Roman have a title and Dean doesn't? Are they going to go for the tag titles? Because again, they could go for the B team and they could very easily take out the B team. Let's all just be really honest about that. I love Bo and Curtis to death, but the Shield is the Shield. And when you have Ambrose and Rollins in the mix, yeah.
So,
bye.
Here's the question. Are the Shield heel now?
I don't know. Are they?
Are they the bad guys? Because they came in and interrupted a babyface going for the championship.
Well, here's the bigger question. Is Roman really a man of his word? Is he really a man of honor? Because if he was, then he should, you know, stand toe-to-toe with Braun Strowman and beat Braun Strowman on his own. I mean, he beat Brock Lesnar on his own, right? He beat the Beast. So he should be able to beat Braun Strowman, no problem. Because again, Roman has beaten Braun in the past, so it's not anything new to Roman to go toe-to-toe with Braun. But the fact that you do have the Shield in the mix now is Roman's sort of not honoring his word, more or less, because I'm going to be a fighting champion, but I'm going to hide behind Seth and Dean, and you kind of have to go through them before you can get to me.
Braun?
Like,
go ahead.
Like, if it's just smart, you just get Braun out of the way. And you just, you know, it's like, because once the Money in the Bank is burned, it's burned. You can't get it back for a whole other year. So it's like, the sooner you get rid of that briefcase and you get that out of play, the better it is. Because then it's, once you go through Braun Strowman, who's the new number one contender for Roman Reigns?
And that begs the question, who is the number one contender right now? Is it Braun Strowman? Because he just has a briefcase. Doesn't make him number one contender. That is the big question. Braun Strowman tweeted, I destroyed you all by myself before. All three of you started a war you can't finish. That title is mine. Hashtag break the Shield.
Well, could Braun enlist some help?
I mean, the leader of world is homeless at the moment, so...
He's single!
I mean, could you team Braun Strowman up with Bray Wyatt and they can battle the Shield? I'm just... You know I mean,
let's not forget Bray Wyatt was one of the men responsible for utterly dismantling the Shield and taking them out and, once upon a time.
And you want to talk about direction for Bray, putting him in that position that could help him.
That could do more than help him.
That could lead to some interesting things from there. By the way, available now on WWEshop.com, a brand new Shield shirt.
Imagine that.
Not only that, two new Shield shirts.
Wow, they were super on that.
Better yet, there are three.
Oh, one for Dean, one for Seth, and one for Roman. How about that? It's as if this was almost planned. Holy crap.
And it has Brooklyn on one of them. Just, you know.
But I mean, in terms of the swerve, this was a fantastic one.
Oh, it was great.
Nobody was expecting this, trying to get back to the show. What will be very, very interesting is the fallout from this, and when we go into next week and find out, was this a setup all along? Was this the plan? Or did Ambrose and Rollins call an audible and decide, hey, we're going to reunite the Shield now that Dean's back together?
And here's the thing. For the first time in a while, you want to tune into Raw next week. They gave you a hook.
They gave you a hook, y'all. They gave you a hook. But my future question for this is, how long can the Shield last before ego gets in the way? Because we all know Seth always has an ulterior motive, right? There's always like the top one that you sort of see and you're aware of, but there's always that one laying right underneath. And we know Seth has that burning desire to be the man again, right? He said it a few months ago. That's where he wants to be. He wants to be back on top. He wants to be the champion, and he can't get there. But hey, you know, if he's buddy-buddy with the champion, well, that puts him one step closer to the title, especially when he's ready to make his move. The wild card is, like I said, Dean Ambrose. Always is. Always will be. How long can Dean stand it before he wants a crack at the title? Because he's the only one without one right now. So are they going to be able to find something to say to him? Or is it going to be he decides, I either want the IC championship or I want the world? Or I should say the universal title. Like, how long is that going to last before ego and desire gets in the way?
Or maybe he just wants to take the contract away from Braun Strowman.
But that creates a whole new set of problems.
It does, doesn't it?
Because now Dean Ambrose has the Money in the Bank contract. Roman Reigns has the universal title. And it could be you're working under the guise of, oh, hey, Dean's going to get the contract. And Dean's not going to cash it in because that's my buddy. That's my Shield brother. Who says Dean can't throw a chair as hard as Seth Rollins and, you know, betray his brothers just as easily to get what he wants. No one.
Things got interesting again on Monday Night Raw.
Hey! You know, it's really amazing what happens when you shatter a glass ceiling and you're able to finally hit the accelerator on every single storyline you have on that show. It's kind of amazing. I really wish they had done this months ago, where they had just given Roman that title and we could have all moved forward and we could have been enjoying this for a while, but I'll take what I can get. The beast is gone. Roman is champion, and we can all get on with our lives. Yay! And Raw is interesting. Yay!
And that'll do it for the Raw Post Show live here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Check out the Rack Extra Reviews, Ms. and Mrs. tomorrow, 10:30, 1 p.m. at wildtalkradio.com and rockradioshow.com. On Thursday night, we're live.
That's right. Tune in. We've got news. We've got notes. We are going to give you the fallout from SummerSlam, because we kind of already spoiled it because Roman won, but we'll tell you who else won, who lost, and all the things that happened on the 5-hour extravaganza for SummerSlam. And, well, if you missed it, you should go back and totally listen to the review of NXT TakeOver Brooklyn 3.
Four.
I've lost count. Four. We did it live Saturday night. It's available for your listening pleasure at RackRadioShow.com and WildTalkRadio.com.
It's Rack Radio Show on all your favorite social media platforms. Saturday night, midnight, this is CB Radio. Check out last week's episode doing knock-knock jokes. We're doing midgets this week, I think.
Midgets?
Little people.
There's a list of that?
I'm not in charge of this one. Anyway. If there's stuff to talk about, Russell Talk Radio will be live Sunday night, 10 p.m. Eastern. We'll be back next Monday for a Raw Post Show, 11, 10 p.m. Eastern. Check out our Twitch channel, twitch.tv/WTR Live, Wild Talk Radio, facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio Network.
You can follow me on Twitter at LensWard, LNSWRD, and go to my website, psychworddesigns.com.
Girlwork.net and MBG Films, youtube.com/MBG1211. We'll be back Thursday night for the rack, and right back here along the way to the Wild Talk Radio Network for our push it next Monday night, 11 10 p.m. Eastern, right here at wildtalkradio.com.
WildTalkRadio.com.